When you serve, like standing at the info center or teaching the children or helping in the nursery or ushering or whatever, however you serve, even making coffee, you're doing that for Jesus. You are serving Jesus. Dr. Ironside says, service for Jesus Christ is not some big mysterious thing. It is a practical thing. He says, if I give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, I am serving Jesus. If I refuse to give the cup of cold water, then I am drawing back from serving.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, through the Bible. Jesus is anointed with perfume as our study of John continues in chapter 12. Here's Pastor Bob.
Chapter 12 begins just like this. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. That's where Lazarus lived. Remember, he and Martha and Mary, his two sisters. Now, 6 days before the Passover feast, Jesus comes back to Bethany, knowing full well that the Jewish leaders want to arrest him and put him to death. Bethany is less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. He is that close, and he wants to visit his friends. He's less than two miles from his enemies. He's in danger. Someone could see him and report him, but he wants to visit his friends. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. So Jesus visits with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Why? Because he loved them. And he wanted to spend time with them. It reminds me of Jesus coming to visit someone in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 18, that friend was Abraham. And Jesus and two angels came and sat with him. And Sarah and Abraham had lunch with Jesus, two angels. And they just sat and talked. As a true believer in Jesus Christ, as someone who has been saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, do you realize that at any moment that you would like to just sit and talk with him, or drive and talk with him, or lay down and talk with him, that he is just right there as a friend, and he will listen. And if you'll be quiet some, he'll even talk to you a bit. Usually when we pray, we just tell him everything we got to tell him, and then we get up and get moving. And he didn't have a chance to say, Bob. But Jesus said that they were headed down toward the cities of the plains, towards Sodom and Gomorrah, the five major cities, but the largest two, Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jesus says, I'm headed down there. Let me read it to you. Jesus, Genesis 18, verses 17 through 19. As they're walking, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Should I keep from you, a friend of mine, what I'm going to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, literally through him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. That Jesus is a friend of Abraham, and he says, I know the man, I know him. He's a friend of mine. And I know he will teach his children the truth. I know he will. I know he'll send them that way. Will all of them follow in it? Well, that's up to them. But you know that Father Abraham will tell them all about Jesus. You tell your children about Jesus. And sometimes you're shocked and stunned when they get to their own age and they go off and to do their own thing. Don't panic. What you do now is you tell them. You show them the ways of the Lord. You give them the word of God. Everyone will have to determine at whatever age they get to where they take responsibility. They're on their own. Some I've seen some of them do it at 12, some at 16, whatever. They're going to make that choice. You'd love to hold on to them the rest of your life and make them do what you want them to do. But nobody could do that to you either, could they? No. Thank you. So let me read verses 2 and 3. When he was at Bethany, there they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very expensive, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the perfume, the ointment, the perfume. So people say, contradiction, contradiction. Everybody wants a contradiction in the Word of God, right? If you got a contradiction in the Word of God, then you can drop the whole thing. True? Then you don't have to live by it, and everybody's looking for loopholes. Like we're dealing with, like God is the IRS. We're just looking for a way to get around. And so people say, hey, contradiction. Mark tells us the dinner was 2 days before the Passover. Well, it was 2 days before the Passover. Listen, in chapter 12 of John, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. He was there 4 days, and that's when they made the supper for him. Get it? He was there visiting, and they wanted to do something special. There is no contradiction. People just want to find things wrong. And there's nothing wrong here. Sorry, everybody. They made a special supper. What for? Because they loved Jesus. He was their friend. He was their Lord. He is their Lord and their friend. And so they made a special, the language is like a special dinner for Jesus just to honor him. It's kind of like a thank you. We're thrilled that you're here. You and your disciples, we want to make you a special meal. What's your favorite food? And he probably said burgers. Okay, maybe not, but I'm sure he didn't say fish. I'm just teasing. If you want it to be fish, that's your funeral. But they did make him a special dinner to honor him. What a great thing to do. Why would they do that? They love him. He's their Lord. And by the way, he is their friend. And they're just glad that he's come to visit. Lazarus, of course, was living there, and he was living. Jesus raised him from the dead. He was dead 4 days. And all kinds of witnesses were there, eyewitnesses to prove it to us. Even Jesus' enemies proved it. They didn't like it, though. Martha, and no one is surprised at this, was busy. She was cooking and serving the meal. You know, that's Martha. You could try to stop her, but it's not going to happen. My mother was that way. If people would come over, she didn't ask you if you wanted to eat. She'd be yelling at you questions from the kitchen because I'm glad you're here, but how about this? And she's going to make something, a little something, you know, like a 7-course meal, just a little something because someone stopped by for a few minutes. That's just what you do. That's what she is built for. Martha, that's just what she does. We see that girl, she's in the kitchen and cleaning up there. But I'm praising God that this time she's not complaining about it. Martha was busy cooking, serving the meal. Mary took a very expensive bottle of ointment, perfume, and poured it on Jesus' feet. Also, she poured it on his head as well, as Mark tells us. And then she dried his feet with her hair. What did we just read? Three characteristics of our Christian life. Martha is serving. We see her first. Lazarus in fellowship. Mary in worship. So we have it. Serving. Fellowship, service, fellowship, and worship. Three characteristics of the Christian daily walk. And now when we're talking fellowship, we're talking not just getting together for a football game. That's fun and we can do that. It's not a sin and we can even throw Jesus in the mix. But remember, it's fellowship when you are there with one another, with Jesus as the center of it all, where we're talking, we're just gathering together a bunch of people and we'll sit at a breakfast table and say, what does God say about this? Or someone will say, well, here's what I thought and this is what I saw one time and this is what I think God was telling me. And you're just, Jesus right smack in the big middle of it all, just fellowshipping with us. We should look forward to gather together with our brothers and sisters, to fellowship with one another where Jesus is the center of it. I'm telling you, Jesus and his disciples are sitting around this table. Lazarus is there. Mary's there. Martha is serving. Where's the focus? The attention is all on Jesus Christ. That's why we come to this place. This isn't the church. You are the church. That's why we come together whenever we're able to gather together in Jesus' name. But you know what else we see? Mary, she worships at Jesus' feet. The perfume, the ointment, spikenard, was very expensive. So I doubt she stole it, and she's a single girl, so nobody gave it to her because they're not allowed to do that. Unless they're betrothed. Now, to purchase that little alabaster box of ointment would be one full year's pay. Now, even if you make minimum wage, do the math quickly. If you're making $12 an hour, how much is that in a year? That's quite a bit for some perfume, wouldn't you say? One full year's wages to purchase the ointment that Mary poured on Jesus. She poured it out all, emptied it on him. She must have gotten it for a reason. She probably didn't run out and buy it that afternoon, you know, at the dollar store. It was a year's pay. She got this, maybe delivered to her, paid for it. Maybe it was delivered from somewhere far, far. I don't know how she got it, but she had it. So she must have really had that planning to use it for something really special, right? It's expensive. You keep it out of the way. The kids don't get to play with it because a pretty little box, but she had to break it open to use it, right? So it's expensive. The box is expensive and the ointment is expensive and she's got this and she's going to use this for, I don't know what she had planned, but look what she uses it for, a special occasion. And in her heart, she thought, this is it. I want to use this now and give it to Jesus. Pour it on him. What that means is this worship is the expression of Mary's heart. Not well thought through. I bought this 2 years ago, but I was thinking that maybe Jesus might die soon. No, this just is coming right from her heart here. That's what worship is. The expression of her heart. The expression of her love and adoration for Jesus Christ. And that's what worship is for you and me. And you can worship God all kinds of ways. Dr. Wiersbe writes this, Mary's act of love and worship was public. In other words, she did it in front of everybody. This wasn't in secret. It was spontaneous. I don't think she set it up 10 weeks in advance. She didn't know. He's only been here 4 days. She didn't know that he was going to show up. She knows that if he shows up and he gets caught, he gets put to death. So she didn't know. So it was public, spontaneous. Listen, costly. It cost her a lot to do it. And it was sacrificial. She gave it all to him. She poured it on him. It was personal. It was hers and hers alone. And she was unashamed to do it, even though somebody in a moment is going to rebuke her. She was not ashamed to worship God, to give to God what she had. And what she had was a lot, and it came from her heart. She held nothing back. That's what worship is. Notice, though, non-believers mock. They rebuke. You're throwing away your money. You know, The Bible's full of errors, and on and on and on and on. And you can tell from statements like that, they don't get it, do they? They don't understand that you've been risen from the dead. He gave me life. I've got eternal life freely given, and I can actually, you know, what do they say? You can't take it with you. Jesus says, but you can send it on ahead. Then saith one of the disciples, okay, she just poured a year's worth of money down the drain on Jesus. You'll smell for a little while, it'll be gone. True? True. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, the one, by the way, which will betray Jesus. He's not a follower. He doesn't believe in Jesus. He doesn't care about Jesus. He's wanting a job in the kingdom. He thinks if Jesus really is the Son of God, he'll kick Rome off, sit on the throne, and I'll be in the cabinet. I'll have a good post or position. I'll be set for life. He doesn't care about the Lord. He doesn't believe that he is the Son of the living God. So he rebukes her. He says, why was not this perfume sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? In other words, that's a year's wages. You could have taken that money and fed a lot of poor people with it. This he said, verse 6, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he held the bag, the purse, the money bag. And he bare, literally the language is bear away or bear out, took out what was put in there. He was stealing from Jesus himself. He was stealing out of the money bag. And Jesus knew it. And everybody, you better sit down. Jesus let him. Why didn't he fire him the first week on the job? Let somebody else take care of the money. I'll tell you why. That's what we would do. Jesus loved him. And Jesus wants to give him every opportunity to come to him, come to Jesus. Yeah, he could have got rid of him a long time ago. But it wouldn't have helped Judas any, would it? And what's Jesus all about? He's loving us. He could have got rid of me a long time ago. He could have got rid of you. Aren't you glad he didn't? He let us hang on until we finally said, okay, I'm yours, right? Then Jesus spoke. He spoke and he rebuked the disciple. Leave her alone. Against the day of my burying, she has kept this, meaning she held this and poured it out now for my burial. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. That's an interesting statement because isn't Jesus with me always? Yes. Is he with you always? Yes. But we don't have him physically here right now, do we? No. We're going to have him physically soon, aren't we? So put two and two together and see if we can come up with four. Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, the one who would betray Jesus very soon, by the way, this week, complained about the waste of such expensive ointment, like every non-believer complains. Look at these churches, you know, they buy this and they buy that and they buy that. Listen, whatever money goes into a fellowship, and if it's fellowship belongs to Jesus Christ, everyone answers for that, right? In other words, I answer for that. You answer for it. We're gonna stand before the Lord one day, and we're going to give account. He's complaining that you're wasting perfume. Maybe, I don't know, maybe if you and I had been there and saw her do that, we'd be going in our heads going, that's really crazy. That was expensive. She could have sold that. We could have all got shoes. I don't know what we'd have been thinking, but I know what Judas was thinking. He said it out loud. That was a waste. He says, why wasn't this ointment sold for a year's wages and given to the poor? If you wanted to just use it, why'd you just pour it out? You wasted it. Wow. Judas spent 3.5 years walking with Jesus day in, day out, 24/7, almost 3.5 years, every day, everywhere Jesus went. He listened to his teaching. He witnessed countless miracles, to include people healed of leprosy, unheard of, right? blind people given their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the dead raised to life again. John gives commentary. Judas didn't really care about the poor. He was carrying the bag, the money bag, the purse, the wallet, the ministry's money itself, and he was stealing from it, using it for however he wanted to use it. And Jesus stopped Judas right there in his tracks. I love that. Thank you, Lord. Leave her alone. He rebukes Mary. Jesus rebukes him. She has kept this oil until now, and she has done this in anticipation of my burial. Mary did a good thing, Jesus said. She's had this, so it lets us know she didn't get it last week. She's kept this for a while, and she was thinking of a special occasion, and in her heart, she decided, this is as special as it gets. Got Jesus here, and I just love him, and I want to give it to him, and she did. And Jesus, she didn't know he's going to die next weekend or close to next weekend. She didn't know that. She knows he's in trouble, knows they want him. Jesus says, after he rebukes him, he says, you will always have the poor with you. And then listen to Judas, if you're really concerned about the poor, listen to this. You will have many opportunities to take care of the poor, many chances to minister to the poor. And you should, Judas. But right now, she did a good thing. He says, you'll always have the poor with you, but me you will not always have. Meaning, he is with me. Yes, he is with you. Yes, but meaning, I will be returning back to the Father. They can't hear that. They don't understand it, but he's still telling them, you won't always have me here like this. I'll always be with you, but you won't be able to grab me and ask me questions and sit down and eat. He's with us. So I think it just becomes another lesson, everybody. Me, you will not always have. Meaning, I'm going back. I'm going to be crucified, going to die, rise again, and I'm going to go back to the Father. Mary would not always have that opportunity to use this oil for Jesus. She had the opportunity, and she took it. And Jesus said, that was a good thing for her to do. She's anointed me for my burial. If you'd like to check all four Gospels, this Mary doesn't show up when the women want to anoint Jesus. They didn't have time, and so they were coming on the first day of the week. This Mary is not one of them. Why? She's already done it. She's already anointed his body. I think it's another lesson for me. It's another lesson for you. A lot of lessons in there. I think it's a reminder that spiritual opportunities might be passing us by. We're here now, everybody. All of us won't be here that long. Life is short. We're here now. We have opportunities, and we should never delay doing what we can do for the Lord here and now. Mary didn't. She still wasn't. She doesn't know what she did. He said it, and she's still going, yeah, what? She's not sure what that means. But don't you worry. Jesus knows, and you can believe she was rewarded and will be rewarded for all eternity. We're not giving to get. We're not giving so others can see us. I like the little guy scrubbing the floors and nobody knows it. We're doing it to minister to Jesus Christ and to give to him something that didn't cost us nothing. I won't give him something, David says, that cost me nothing. It's going to cost time. It's going to cost energy. It's going to cost some really sore knees, whatever it is. But I can do this for Jesus. We'll do it. There's a heart. That's the kind I want. I believe it's the kind every true believer wants. We do get busy, though. I'm not arguing that. Life is busy. And it comes at you at the speed of life. And texts never end. And emails never end. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. So handle it. Take care of it. But remember, we have these opportunities. Simple little things that seem like almost nothing to us that will mean an eternity for somebody.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.